11,022, John Ford, southwest of Road 285, Plantation Road, northwest of Sandcastle Cove, being lot 261 within Hoboken Landing Development, a variance from the rear yard setback requirement.
Hi.
Please state your name and address for the record, please.
Yeah, John W. Ford, 17795, Sandcastle Cove, Lewis Dollar, 19958.
You swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Chairman, I have some exhibits I'll be referring to.
Fine, sir.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, good evening again. Again, for the record, my name is Jim Fuquay, and I'm an attorney here in Georgetown, and I'm representing Mr. Ford and his wife. This is a request for a rear yard variance of 3.1 feet for a small room addition on the back of the Ford's home. The property is located on Sandcastle Cove, and that's in the Hoboken Landing Development, which is located just off of Plantation Road, and it's kind of across from the back of Lowe's. Mr. Ford is a retired Delaware State Police captain. He and his wife purchased their home in Hoboken Landing in March of 2011. The rear of the home, when they purchased it, had an open ground-level deck. And early this year, the Fords decided to enclose a portion of the deck with a small sitting room. The new room, the enclosure, was entirely located on what had been a part of the open deck. So the new room was similar to an option that the builder was offering for a sunroom. But they did not have that built at the time they purchased their home. They built it a year later. Before beginning the work on this enclosure of this room, Mr. Ford submitted his plans to the Hoboken Landing Homeowners Association. They require architectural approval and compliance with the requirements. So those plans were reviewed, and he did receive approval from the HOA in April of 2012. Mr. Ford also retained Lakeshore Home Improvement LLC to do the work, and Lakeshore is a licensed and bonded contractor, and also a building permit was obtained to do the work. The work began and proceeded, but on May 31st of this year, Mr. Ford was notified by the county that the room enclosure was in violation of the zoning code's 10-foot rear yard setback. Now, from my review of the information, it appears that what happened was that the open, unenclosed deck on the back of the Ford's home had a setback of 6.9 feet. And what Mr. Ford did was simply enclose a portion of that deck. In other words, the enclosure he did was no closer to the rear yard line than the existing deck was. And unfortunately, as you gentlemen know, an open, unenclosed deck is permitted to encroach 5 feet into a rear yard setback. But once it isn't an open, unenclosed porch, it's not permitted to. So the act of enclosing it basically brought the 10-foot setback back into a requirement. Now, Mr. Ford accepts the responsibility for this error. It was done in good faith out of a lack of knowledge of the setback laws, and unfortunately was compounded by the HOA's approval of his plans, and then also was further compounded by his contractor also not realizing that the enclosure of this existing deck would create a setback violation. I want to just review the exhibits that I submitted to you so you can see exactly what's involved. Exhibit A is the tax map, and that shows the Ford's lot. As you can see, it's highlighted in yellow. It's an N lot, and you can see it's adjacent to open space, which is marked there E28, but that open space obviously is community open space. I believe it's a stormwater recharge area, so there's a stormwater pond located on that area. But to that one side of the Ford's lot, there is no improvements. Exhibit B is a site survey. This was a survey done after completion of the enclosure. It shows the 6.9 foot setback in the rear, and you can see that both the room enclosure as well as the deck has that same 6.9 feet setback. You will note a note on the front of that survey that there was a prior Board of Adjustment approval for a front yard variance that was granted in March of 2010. That was a variance that actually had been applied for by the developer, and that was Bridal Ridge Properties, LLC, and that was a 5-foot front yard variance. And it's my understanding that that variance was actually a blanket variance in the development, and I believe it was a variance for 46 lots, so it wasn't site-specific to this site. The developer came in and basically, for whatever reasons, requested this blanket variance to be able to build closer to the road. The exhibit C is a series of pictures. I should have gotten them in color. They don't come out real good there. I do have the color ones here if you'd like to see them, but the first picture obviously shows the rear yard of Mr. Ford's house. You can see his deck there. It has a couple chairs on it. You can see the enclosed room, which I'm referring to. And then you also see he has a shed further to the left on his property. I just wanted to point out that you'll see the window on the rear of that of the enclosed point over the enclosed room. There's no direct window pointing out the back of the house. You can see that's a sunlight window. It doesn't really invade anyone's privacy or invade the Ford's privacy in looking in. And I think you can see that the enclosure is in compliance or in accordance with the house. It's very attractive, and architecturally it looks like it's part of the original house. The next picture is a view from the west, which we were just looking at, again showing the enclosure. The next picture is a view from the opposite direction from the east, just showing the enclosure from the other direction. The next picture just shows kind of, I just wanted to show the kind of the property line there. You can see the shed on the property and the this enclosed room and deck. They're approximately the same distance from the rear property line. And then the last picture is just actually an interior of this enclosed room, which, as I said, is just a sitting room. It's a small room. And it's basically just used for reading and things of that nature. The next exhibit, which is D, that is basically the written approval from the property management company on behalf of Hennepin Landing HOA, and that did authorize the work that was done. There's a sketch attached to that, which you can see. It was clearly submitted to them that this room was being enclosed. And then the very last item in those exhibits is actually a certificate of compliance from the HOA saying that everything that Mr. Ford did was in accordance with what the HOA had approved. Now, as to the legal standards involving a variance, The 3.1 feet is the minimum variance that will afford relief, since obviously the room is there and it's 6.9 feet from the rear setback. So the 3.1 feet is the minimum variance. We believe that the variance will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood. You can see from the pictures that were submitted, Mr. Ford's home is in very impeccable condition. The improvements he made, including this enclosed room, are consistent with the architecture of the house and very attractive in appearance. And I viewed it myself, and that's my opinion, but also I believe there's several letters that have been submitted by his neighbors in support of the application who repeat the same comment. As far as the creation of the problem, as I already stated, Mr. Ford accepts responsibility for the encroachment. He did it, but his responsibility was based on a lack of understanding and not an intentional act. As I stated, the deck was already there, and he, I think, as an amateur as far as building is concerned, logically assumed that he could enclose a part of his deck since it was obviously legal and was already there. He shouldn't have assumed that. It was an incorrect assumption. And then, as I mentioned, the assumption was compounded by the HOA approving his plans and his builder also not picking up on the fact that the enclosure would require a greater setback. The variance is necessary to enable the reasonable use of the property. Without the variance of 3.1 feet, then the rear 3.1 feet of this room would need to be removed at considerable expense and hardship, and it would leave basically not much more than a very attractive and expensive closet. And lastly, and this really is the most important aspect of this. I mean, up to this point in time, I think I've made out a very sympathetic argument as to why this variance should be granted. And I realize you need more than just a sympathetic argument. There is a very unique condition of Mr. Ford's property that I think really is the source of the problem and the source of what happened here. If you go back to Exhibit B, Exhibit B is the site plan that was submitted. You'll see that the Ford's lot is located on a curve on Sandcastle Road. And you'll note that the east side of the Ford's property, that would be the side to the right, is 104.5 feet in length. But because of the road curving back toward the property, the lot's west side is only 91.28 feet. If you then go to Exhibit A, which was the tax map, you'll see there that the vast majority of the lots, and I didn't make a copy of the entire development, but this copy here is this area where the lot is. But if you'll see on the map that's submitted, the vast majority of these lots in this part of Hennepin Landing are at least 133 feet deep. The exception to that is the internal lots on Mr. Ford Street, that's at Sandcastle Cove, those lots are 104 feet deep. And all of those lots are 104 foot deep. Even the corner lots, the dimension marked on there, you'll see a smaller dimension, but those lots all have a radius. So the length of the lot is greater than that number there. You'll see, like for instance, it's 30.27 on a radius and 79.50 on the straight part. But you'll see from the other line, 104.50. So every lot in there has a depth of 104 feet on those internal lots. So basically, it's only Mr. Ford's lot that has something less than that. Sorry. Thought I was getting zapped there for a second.
Yeah,
I think Mr. Moore, I was ready to vacate the last part of my introduction.
Yeah. So as I said, only Mr. Ford's lot is 104 feet on one side, but on the other side is only 91.28 feet. So as I said, the majority of the lots in the development are 133 feet deep, which is approximately 42 feet deeper than Mr. Ford's west side. And even the internal lots on Sandcastle Cove, over where Mr. Ford's home is, all of those lots are 104 feet deep, which is approximately 13 feet deeper than Mr. Ford's west side. So this is really a kind of a unique situation for this lot to be located and with dimensions so different than the other lots in the area. And every other lot in the development could have put this option on of a sunroom or could have subsequently built an enclosed portion of their deck like Mr. Ford did, and it just plain would have fit. This is the only lot in this development where, because of the 91-foot setback or 91-foot sideline, that it wouldn't fit. So it's a unique situation. We believe that it's a significant and legal basis for a variance. The room addition, it's a very attractive addition. It's compatible with the community, does not interfere with the uses or privacy of neighbors. It would be a practical and financial hardship to Mr. Ford to basically destroy the room by removing 3.1 feet of it. And we believe that the basis for a variance, for the reasons I stated, are shown. And for the record, Mr. Ford, you'd heard everything I just said. Is that all true and correct, to the best of your knowledge? I'm sorry, go ahead.
I said yes, sir, that's correct.
All right, thank you. And gentlemen, that's everything I have to present, other than any questions you might have.
I'll wait to go soon, see. Are there any questions from members of the board? Mr. Rickards?
Mr. Fuqua, you said the builder just went ahead and built this. Did he go ahead and build it without a permit?
No, there was a permit obtained.
And it gave him the dimensions, I mean the setback requirement?
Yeah, I mean it's a standard Sussex County permit, and I'm sure it said there was a 10-foot rear yard setback. Like I said, I think it's not a justification, but I think the problem was that deck was there, and they were putting the small addition on the deck, and it was wrong, but it was assumed that since the deck was there, you could build to there.
Okay.
And again, I said, we know that you can't.
You can't enclose it, right. I notice your opposition has said that you might be setting a precedence in that neighborhood. Is there anything in that neighborhood that warrants that statement?
As I kind of stated, all the other lots are significantly longer than this one boundary. And even the smaller lots are 13 feet or so longer than this boundary. And you can see from the tax map that this is the only lot that has this short sideline.
There's not been nothing like that. Okay.
Mr. Wortman?
No question.
Mr. Nelson?
No.
Mr. Mills?
Mr. Fuqua, let me start by apologizing for the phone. Apparently silencing the phone doesn't silence any alarms. Did you say that Bridal Ridge Properties was the builder of the home?
Bridal Ridge Properties, were they who you bought from? When you bought the property, was it Bridal Ridge Homes who you bought from?
No, Ryan.
Ryan Homes.
Ryan, okay.
I think Bridal Ridge might have been the developer, and they were selling lots to Ryan Homes.
I got you.
So I think, yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
No further questions. Okay, are there any persons here that are in favor of this application? There's one.
Mr. Chairman, the office received 15 letters in favor.
15 letters in favor, okay. And one person here. Okay, is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Chair, hearing none?
Mr. Yes. Chairman, the office did receive a letter in opposition. It was lengthy. I passed it down for your review. Did you have a chance to?
Well, that was the reason for my question.
Right.
It's from Bridal Ridge Properties, who
to have homes in there.
We're assuming, or we have knowledge, they are the property developer who, by way of their contractor, has been already given a variance on the property. So,
right, and that's the reason I asked the question about the precedents.
Right.
Yep. Okay. Okay. Then, hearing no further opposition, chair will entertain a motion. Okay, again, chair will call for a motion. Last time.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion that we approve case number 11,023 based on the following facts: that the lot, as so stated, is shorter than in length by the other lots in that development, and also the uniqueness of the property, that's what would fall into that, would be also the cul-de-sac that's in there that makes the property very unique. I think the variance is necessary to enable reasonable use of the property. That seems reasonable. I believe the variance will not alter essential character of the neighborhood. And the request of the variance is a minimum that will afford relief for the applicant.
Okay. Do I have a second to that motion?
Second, but it was 11,022.
Right. I was going to tell him that. Thank you.
I'm sorry.
That's right.
I'm sorry.
I have a motion
I'm
by
hurrying
Mr.
it up, aren't I?
Mr. Richards, and a second by Mr. Workman that we approve case number 11,022. All those in favor of the motion, Mr. Mills?
Aye, for the reasons stated, and I would request that our legal counsel write the builder Lakeshore Home Improvement letter.
Okay. Mr. Hudson?
Aye, also for the reasons stated.
Okay, Mr. Richards again?
Aye, for the reasons I stated.
And Mr. Workman?
Aye, for reasons that were stated.
Aye, Mr. Calloway, for the previous reasons have been stated by a vote of 5-0. Case number 11,022 is approved.
Thank you, gentlemen.